Let's do this. Get set.
This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Jasinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the road.
And then I ran, and I ran, and I ran. Welcome to Running Flat Radio. Chris Jasinski here. You're listening to us on AM 800 CKLW, and hopefully you're also listening to us on podcast on iTunes or directly through runningflat.com. You know, this is a show all about running, endurance sports, and this week our special guest is Lionel Sanders, who's going to be joining me a little bit later on the show. Lionel has done something that very, very few Canadian triathletes have ever done, and he has bring Lionel on.
Sub eight hour.
Forgive me for messing
right.
that up.
It's all right.
Because you're in a very, very special group now of Canadians, right? Only three Canadians
including myself. Yeah,
including yourself.
It's a bit surreal. Absolutely.
Yeah. So and that's of course you are the Ironman champion for Ironman Arizona.
Yeah, it was a fantastic race. It was a lot of hard miles, it feels like, went into it.
And it's great having you here. And we're going to talk a little bit about later about that. We're going to talk about nutrition. We're going to talk about, you know, lessons learned at the World Championship at Kona, you know, which was an interesting race. And you're always a great guest. And thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me on.
You know, and also a little bit later on, Ben Kaplan, editor-in-chief of Iron Magazine, will join us. And we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff, but mostly because of it snowed this week here in Ontario, most of the Midwest. And with the snow brings a new kind of look at gear and the gear you should be wearing and what you should be doing. So Ben Kaplan's going to join us at about quarter to the hour. You know, a couple things going on at Running Flat that you should be aware of is Le Chocolat is open. And as we're coming to the holiday season, it makes a great gift to register your mom or your friends to do this race. It's a unique race in Southern Ontario because it's one of the largest races in Southern Ontario, and it is predominantly women, without a doubt. It's about 95% women who join the race. The race is really unique for a lot of reasons. One is it's the only half marathon in Windsor, and besides being the half marathon, there's also a 10K. There's also a 5K distance, which is the most popular distance. And you can walk the 5K and you can walk the 10K. And also added to that for this year, we have a two-year agreement with Athletics Canada, is the 10K National Championship for age groups. So what happens is you can be a Canadian from anywhere in the country, fly in, run the National Age Group Championship, and we give out awards for every 5 years, from, I believe it's 19 years old to 95 years old. And we acknowledge you, and Athletics Canada acknowledges you, and you get a medal, and it's really quite unique. It's only been going on for the last couple of years. This is the second year, and we're proud to host that event here in the city of Windsor. Le Chocolat is unique for a lot of reasons. One is it's the only race that gives away wine as the swag. It's really incredible. A little bit later on, not in December, but probably in January, we're going to make an announcement. The announcement will actually talk about the swag, the wine that's given, the reason why the wine's given, the charity that's attached to the swag and the way it works. And it's really quite incredible. Even though you're registering, I know we haven't shown you the swag or the medals, but we'll pace that out for you a little bit later on in the winter. Keep your excitement going for training, and also we'll have some training tips on the Running Flat website and on Facebook, of course. You can always follow us on Facebook under Le Chocolat or Canada Day or any one of our races, or follow us on Twitter at Running Flat. The other race that'll be opening up very, very shortly is Canada Day. Canada Day is a very, very unique race brought to you in the town of Amherstburg, which the start finish is right outside the gates of Fort Mullen. Fort Mullen was the epicenter of the War of 1812, and it's we start this race with a cannon blast, and it's all about just red and white and having fun and being as patriotic as possible. It's one of the most unique races in the country. We are the largest race in Canada this year. On Canada Day, we were larger than Ottawa, Edmonton, Vancouver. We were even larger than, Burlington and other races around the country. The reason for that is the medal is unbelievable. What happens in Canada Day is, as you register, you get to vote on who you think is a great Canadian. You were actually nominated as a great Canadian this last year. There are a number of nominations for Lionel Sanders. So, we tally up the top three of those suggestions, and for the following year when you go to register, you pick one of the top three, and then you make the suggestion to who you want in 2017, and it just kind of perpetuates itself over and over and over again. I mean, we've had Sir Johnny McDonald, we've had Terry Fox, and we've had Commander Chris Hatfield on the medal for the last 3 years. So this year, within the next 2 weeks, we'll be announcing who are the nominees for 2016, and we'll probably have one or two of them on the air with us, which means that those two are alive to do this. Yeah, so we will definitely do that. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW. Lionel Sanders up next.
Was the night before Black Friday, but you're not in your bed, for the Best Buy sale is but hours ahead. So you dance through your house and exclaim with great cheer, I'm so stoked for the savings on hot new tech gear. Now in-store you see the flat screen of your dreams and announce your joy with a series of screams. So with deals in hand, you give one more cry, Best Black Friday ever. Thank you, Best Buy.
Best Buy's Black Friday sale starts online Friday at 12 a.m. Eastern. Stores open at 6 a.m. Visit bestbuy.ca for details.
It's become a holiday tradition in Windsor, Essex.
I love this time of year.
It lifts me up.
It's just magic.
It also happens to be a fantastic way to embrace the spirit of the season and to make a change in our community.
The spirit of the holidays. It's a time for thanks.
AM 800's 12th annual Cans for a Cause will take place at Devonshire Mall on Friday, December 4th in support of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Search your pantry for non-perishable food and personal items like diapers and toiletries. Then stop by to see us. Barnes will be at the Moxie's entrance during the morning drive from 6 to 9 a.m., giving you an easy drive-up, drop-off spot for all those canned goods. Then we'll be broadcasting live from the center of all the holiday action in the food court at Devonshire Mall all day until 10 p.m. With the holiday hustle and bustle just about to kick in, take a moment to remind yourself what the season is really all about. AM 800's Cans for a Cause. Together, we can make a difference this holiday season.
AM 800 weather is brought to you by Dorco. Think fall. Get your LiftMaster belt drive garage door opener, two remotes, keypad, and surge protector installed for only $496 plus HST. Only at Dorco Garage Doors, your trusted LiftMaster dealer.
From the AM 800 Weather Center, here is your latest forecast. Partly cloudy skies for tonight, getting down to a low of minus 2. Tomorrow, mainly sunny with a daytime high of 12. For Thursday, cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers, reaching a high of 11. Friday, periods of rain with an afternoon high of 12. Saturday, a mix of sun and cloud with a high of 3. Once again, for tonight, partly cloudy skies with an overnight low of minus 2.
IQ doesn't just stand for intelligence quotient. It also stands for impossible question. Bring out the genius in you and win a fantastic prize.
Win $75 in gift certificates from classic bingo halls in Windsor and Tecumseh and Breakaway and Paradise Gaming Centers in Windsor.
The Impossible Question Contest. Monday through Saturday mornings at 7:50 and Sunday morning at 8:50 on AM 800. Contest rules available at am800cklw.com.
Hey, it's Chris Uzinski. Look, you had a decent year, but you want to get more out of your running. Sub 20, a 5K, go to Boston, or just lose more weight without all the hocus pocus. Well, we can help you do that. In partnership with our friends at Additional Nutritional, we've made personal training really easy. And it's a custom app that's built right around you. customized to you with all the workouts and all the encouragement designed to get you going every single day. It even has recipes and a weekly call. Or hey, look, 24/7, you can get a hold of one of the trainers and talk to them and get your questions answered. We can get you to your goals guaranteed. For more information, go to runningflat.com and click on the fitness app. That's runningflat.com.
News doesn't exactly happen on a schedule, but AM 800's newscasts do. Local news for Windsor Essex every 30 minutes, all day long. Keep fit. Keep active. Keep running. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. I'm Chris Uzinski. Joining me in the studio is a guy who has been on the show a number of times. Thanks for joining us.
It's always fun to be here.
Lionel Sanders. And you know, thanks for joining us so soon after your win. Welcome back to Windsor. Congratulations on being an Ironman champion.
Thank you. It was, I won Ironman Florida back in 2014, but sadly right. The swim was canceled, so it was always bittersweet. And I think I got super lucky because of it, because had the swim been there, I probably wouldn't have won the race. So maybe, fortunately, the swim was canceled.
You know, it's one of those things where, because what happened for the listeners in Florida was the swim was canceled because of high winds.
Yeah, rip currents. It was very dangerous to swim.
Okay, and then what they do is they basically just discount that off the time.
This particular time, yeah. Sometimes it's different, but this time they just did a time trial start on the bike. So they started us just basically on your number. So number 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way. I think there was like almost 3,000 people. And they started us like 5 seconds apart from each other. And that was the race. So now you just start the race and do it as you would with the swim. So obviously it makes the race super congested, because usually the swim kind of strings things out a bit more. But it was interesting. But for me, the swim is my weakness. So to take the swim out, you know, he's just taken out a piece of the game that I usually lose quite a bit of time. So it certainly changed things for me.
So it played your strengths.
Big time, yeah. So there was always an asterisk. People always had said, you know, oh, if only the swim was there, you know, probably would have hurt your bike a lot more. And then you would have had the big deficit to overcome. So I just kind of had that monkey on my back a little bit for the last year.
So you sub 8 hour in Ironman 9 days ago. Something like that, right? Eight, nine days ago.
Last Sunday.
Right. And you are one of three Canadians, including yourself, who've been able to do that. What's the stat here? 35 people have done this?
I think 41 people in history have done it.
Have done it.
Yeah. And I would be the 35th fastest.
35th fastest in the world to ever done this in the history of the sport.
Of all the times, yes.
And Ironman's been around for 30...
I think it's coming up on 33 years.
Yeah, 32. I was going to say 32 years. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was, I'm a super Ironman junkie. I love the stats. I love the history. I love it all. And so, yeah, to put it this way, my first Ironman took me 10 hours and 14 minutes. And that was everything I had. Couldn't go any faster. Couldn't fathom, you know, the winner of that race did it in 8 hours and 20 something minutes. And then I could not fathom how did he do that 8:20, so you know, I think it's a testament to when you put your mind to something and you truly want to do something and you work hard and don't take no for an answer for the most part, you know, you can do things that you did not think possible.
So let's talk about how you did that. Shave 2 hours off your Ironman time. Joining us on the phone right now is a dear friend of mine, a sponsor of yours as well,
yes.
Darcy Haggath from Infinite Nutrition Canada. Darce, welcome to Running Flat Radio.
Thanks, Chris.
So tell me, how did Lionel do that? How did he shave 2 hours off, you know, in regards to, you know, his nutrition and his intake?
Well, he's a warrior and has... You know, everybody knows what he does in his pain cave. all that we did was really allow him to kind of reach his potential. So he came off, I think last time he was on the show, he talked about Texas, and he was quite dehydrated and probably didn't get enough calories and electrolytes in his system. So we worked with him to better understand, you know, what his sweat rate was, what his salt concentration was, and, you know, built a solution for him, really to get him through the bike and the run. Obviously, we don't worry so much about the swim, but yeah, it was just a back and forth dialogue, finding out what he could tolerate, and we built it up. And
if I could add too, we had done that for Kona, which the Ironman World Championship, which took place about a month and a half ago now in Kona, Hawaii. And so we had all that, and I really executed a really good nutrition plan there. But the one thing that we neglected was how important the aerodynamics are on the bike. And so I wore a Camelback, and I got a lot of I got made fun of an awful lot after that race for wearing a Camelback. But you know, long story short, it really negatively impacted my bike aerodynamics. And I had a lot of big round bottles on my bike, which aerodynamically speaking are quite slow. So the challenge was to figure out, okay, we got all these calories, we got all of these electrolytes. Can we fit it? Can we get it into a very aerodynamic and small bottle? And then can the gut absorb those calories, you know, in a super concentrated mixture while sort of diluting them with water? And so that took another, you know, whole series of back and forth. Can we do it? How can we do it? What's the right concentration? And fortunately, we were able to settle on something, and I put that to the test at Ironman Arizona, and you know, I felt really good. It worked really well. Cognitively, I was thinking very clearly.
Yeah.
You know, after 8 hours of very, very hard exercise, and then there was drug testing afterwards, and you have to produce a urine sample, and I actually produced it in record time.
Yay.
So I was hydration was good.
Hey, can we talk about what you're actually on? Can we talk about like how much you actually takes in during a race and what it is, Darce?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Okay.
He has a custom blend, and the blend that we're using for him right now is it's a lot more dilute, less concentrated than a lot of the racers that we support. So it comes in at about 150 calories per serving. It's got a bit of protein in it, and it's got a lot of electrolytes because he has a high sweat rate and high salt concentration. So, you know, we have to get a lot more than one serving. A lot of athletes will take one serving, maybe, you know, 200 calories, 250 per 600 mils, but we have to pump a lot more fluid, electrolytes and calories in than that for Lionel.
So how many ounces are we talking about here?
Well, that was the part that was unfathomable, because at Texas, I thought, okay, you know, I mean, just the average person takes in about one bottle an hour, something like that. And that's what I took in Ironman Texas. And it turned out I was sweating at over 2 liters an hour, and one bottle is like 750 milliliters. So
I mean, you're in a deficit situation.
I'm almost a liter and a half deficit after
right.
1 hour of exercise. So you only have 3 hours of exercise in you, and you're going to be severely dehydrated.
Right.
And so that was
exactly.
And that was that's really the poses the challenge. In fact, if you just go by science textbooks, I probably shouldn't be able to consume as much as I consume. Because I'm consuming at Kona, for instance, I consumed about 9 liters in four and a half hours on the bike, which, you mean, they say the gut can't really take in that much, but it's always one of those games of trial and error in your own training.
Right.
And I was able to find out, hey, actually, I can. In fact, I would push it even further. I have done 10 liters in 4 hours of exercise, which is, you mean, very, very high. But I guess the moral of the story is, if you're able to exercise at a high intensity, you probably will have a proportional increase in your ability to digest and consume fluids and liquids and all that
and
sort
expel.
Of thing. Yes.
There's a gentleman, Mark Linsman, that I'm working with on kind of the sweat side of things. And he taught me at a clinic a couple of years ago that you can train your gastric system to take on more fluids and more carbohydrates than it is used to right now. So it's just like a muscle. You can work the muscle to, you know, get a better performance. You can do the same thing with your digestive system. So you can take on more calories. Lionel's at about 110 calories per hour, grams of carbohydrates per hour, which a lot of people would say is not possible. But we've demonstrated that.
I've even taken it one step further, and I totally have seen this in practice. I mean, I've done in a 70.3, so at a very high, half Ironman, a very high intensity, I have consumed over 500 calories an hour on the bike, so 520
right.
calories an hour, which, I mean, that's very, very high, and a lot of people would have difficulties even at low intensity, but I've practiced literally every single day in practice. I look at it as an opportunity to improve that side of things. And I've been very, very adamant on sticking to it and forcing myself to eat just a little bit more. And now I can consume 500 calories very comfortably, no problem.
That's like a Big Mac meal every hour.
but if you think about, how much you're burning, really, right. It's the more power you're pushing on the bike or the faster you're running, the more of that muscle glycogen that you're going to be burning.
I think what's fascinating is that you're able to take in those amount of calories within that volume of liquid and still not suffer from stomach distension and, all the other things that you get when you're running. And
fortunately, I've been working with Infinite, and we've gotten the osmolality, very low and using maltodextrin and different types of carbohydrate, which allows you to consume. Because if you're just consuming, Garcia would know better, the technical term fructose, I think. If you're just consuming that type of sugar, it would cause much more problems in the gut. But because we're using a different type of glucose, or a different type of carbohydrate, I'm able to consume a higher amount without those gastric problems.
Darcy, how big of a play is this on the different sugars?
Oh, it's huge. So by using three, you can better absorb those calories that you're taking in, but also it lowers the osmotic pressure. So Lionel's right, maltodextrin is known for having a low osmotic pressure. And that's, it's all about having a concentration of a fluid in your gut that you're taking in that's lower than your bodily fluids. So our bodily fluids is around 280. We have to have something that we're consuming that's below 280. If not, it sits in your gut until you absorb enough water from the surrounding tissue. So we are always very careful, with making a blend that's intended for during exercise to make sure that we're on the right side of 280. Then we know it's going to absorb into the system.
Wonderful. Darcy, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, man. Darcy from Infinite Nutrition Canada, also the makers of Running Flat Fuel that you'll find on our long courses, powering our athletes and obviously powering Lionel Sanders. It's always fascinating to find that out. Stick with us through the break. I want to talk to you about Ironman Kona. I want to kind of go through, the issues and tribulations that you had there and obviously how you fixed them. To win Arizona. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW. We'll be right back after these messages.
You know an emergency when you see it.
Call a plumber.
You know an emergency when you hear it.
Look, Mom, grilled cheese.
But do you know an emergency when you smell it? In the unlikely event of a natural gas leak, you will smell rotten eggs. If you do, clear your home immediately. Once outside, call 911. For more information on how to protect your family, look out for the Union Gas insert in your local paper or visit uniongas.com/safety.
Floats, carolers, and of course, Santa.
Ho, ho, ho.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, Winterfest. Get into the spirit at Santa's Forest and Photo Booth. Sing along with carolers. Enjoy roasted chestnuts plus winter wine tasting at the Windsor Star News Cafe.
The tradition continues with the Winterfest Parade at 3, featuring over 50 custom floats and Saint Nick himself. Winterfest 2015, this Saturday in downtown Windsor. Learn more at winterfestwindsor.com.
Sponsored by the Windsor Star, TV Kojiko, and AM 800.
It's 7:30.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor-Essex, an information update with Mike McDonald.
The Ontario Civilian Police Commission has dismissed the appeal of a former Windsor police officer. Constable Dorothy Nesbitt was fired after being found guilty of deceit and discreditable conduct for failing to declare alcohol at the border. She launched an appeal, which was heard over the summer. Back in 2010, customs officers pulled Nesbitt over on the Ambassador Bridge, finding more than 100 cans of beer, 10 liters of wine, and 2 bottles of rum in the trunk of the car. Provincial government says it has reached a tentative contract agreement with the union representing workers at correctional institutions. Province says in a release, the 3-year agreement with OPSU will not add to government expenditures as it battles to balance its books. Details of the tentative deal have not been released. Amherstburg CAO wants to meet with business owners and residents to talk about festivals and events in the town's downtown core. With the spirited debate surrounding the Mardi Gras Street Party, John Michelli wants to meet with all stakeholders to find a solution that works for everyone. In sports, in Junior B hockey, Leamington Flyers are in Sarnia tonight. Right now, Leamington with a 1-0 lead in the first period. In Junior C hockey, the Essex 73s hosting Dresden. Essex with a 1-0 lead in the first period. Lakeshore Canadians and Alvinston getting underway this hour. From the AM 800 Weather Center, partly cloudy tonight, the low minus 2. Tomorrow, mainly sunny and a high 12. Right now, it is 0 or 32 Fahrenheit. I'm Mike McDonald, AM 800 News.
Helping you achieve your personal best. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. I'm Chris Yuzinski. We're a show all about running and endurance sports, and we just haven't. We do talk about triathlon. We had a couple triathlon shows this year where we had your coach, Barry Shepley, on and had some wonderful conversations about you know, the kind of the starter ranks and the local community races and how they over the last number of years have been suffering. Lionel Sanders, Ironman champion from Arizona, joins me in studio live. So, you know, that was the topic we were going through this summer with even some of the local tri guys as well. The issue of, you know, people just look at triathlon and Ironman, the brand, mm-hmm. as, hey, you know what? I got the bike, check. You know, I got the suit, check. I got, you know, and, you know, they go, and I've got the tattoo because I've completed the race, you know, some far distant land. But it's all about, you know, doing the local races and supporting them and kind of building that up because, you know, they've been around for 25, 30 years themselves as well.
Well, you know, I mean, it's kind of sad. I've only been in the sport for 6 years now, and I've seen the local races start to dwindle a bit. And so, you know, it's I think it's something that we definitely got to kind of go out of our way to support these things because it's great. I love doing the Ironman branded races and everything, and I think they're great. They're great to have as a big, big goal. But, I mean, you got to support the local races too because, quite frankly, if their local races didn't exist, I mean, I would never really have gotten involved in this sport. My first race was right here in Windsor at the Bell River Triathlon, and that's sort of what gave me the confidence. And it also is where I've honed the craft. I've done Tecumseh Triathlon. It was in several instances, it was a very humbling experience and really, you know, got me to try and improve myself.
Right.
And same as when I was living up near Hamilton, we had the Multisport Canada series, and I basically, there was some good competition there, and that's where I developed myself enough to be able to compete at the professional level. So, I mean, if those things start to dwindle and go away, I think it'll be really bad news for the sport, 10 years or so from now.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's kind of why we did the two shows special on it, just kind of deep dive that whole issue and you know that there was this whole group of new people that had come into the sport who just looked at it as okay, bucket list number one, done, you know, and then kind of drop out of it and not support it any longer. And that was the reason why we had the conversation. So, you know, we talked a little bit about Ironman branded sports. Would you look at Challenge Family as an event for yourself?
Absolutely, and I certainly have. Like Challenge Roth is like my biggest bucket list race to do. I was going to do it last year, but I hadn't sort of mastered the racing here in North America yet. So going to Europe to do a race would be a lot more than I you know, a lot of new experiences with
right.
the time change, different culture, different foods, etc. to sort of battle. So I'm undecided. This year I might go over and do a race in Europe, which could potentially be Challenge Roth in July. I think you got to kind of look at it as more of the distance and the experience and not just the brand. Of course, Ironman is great, but it's also just the experience and I think just supporting the local races and
yeah.
is an important part, and I think it should be part of our job as triathlon enthusiasts.
So let me ask you, how do you choose a race? You know, when you look back at your schedule for 2016 or 2015, you know, how do you pick and choose where you want to be or what you want to do?
I mean, as a professional, there's certainly, of course, is the economic side of things. So I have,
right.
I've got bills to pay. So I've got to target races that have at least have professional races and prize purses and that sort of thing. But I also in 2015, I did quite a few time trials, just regular time trials and running races. Did a race right here, the Loring Run Under the Sun, and those are actually very important in the whole scheme of things because I think the faster you can get in pure running, the better obviously you're going to be running off the bike in a triathlon. And so I try and bring those as well as in the time trial. I did one out in Harrow Colchester area with Farm Dog Cycles. And once again, become a great time trial in pure time trial and go amongst the guys who focus on just one sport and try and hold your own with those guys. When you come into triathlon, you'll be a much stronger athlete. And even swimming, it's totally a new thing. I did my first swim race ever. I had no idea what the heck was happening, but I did a 1500. I think it was in February of this year. And I watched the guy next to me lap me five times. It was, but it's an amazing experience because it really motivates you. It shows you what the guys doing just the pure sports are able to do, and it's very you bring that to your training. But this year, 2016, because I'm in a much better point situation, I actually am going to have more freedom to choose my races and not sort of be confined to economic decisions. So I'm most definitely am planning on doing a lot more local races, a lot more pure running races. I want to do my bike shop Cycle Culture is doing their own time trial series here in Windsor.
Nice.
And I want to hone the craft. I want to become as aerodynamic, as fast, as best of a corner as I can become, so that when I go to the triathlon against guys who are focusing on three, I'll be just that much stronger. So I think it's very valuable to not only just do triathlons and local races, but to also think about doing the three sports individually and get into those races.
Right. So how do you choose your distances? Whether it's Olympic sprint or half or full Ironman, how do you choose a distance?
In 2015, I had to do mainly because they basically eliminated prize purses at the sprint and Olympic distance for non-drafting racing. So first and foremost, I always choose non-drafting racing as a weaker swimmer. If you have draft legal biking, if I have any deficit on the swim and I'm not with that lead swim pack, it's impossible for one man to outbike 15, 20 guys working together. So it takes out the strong biker who can't swim too well, their chances. So first and foremost, it's got to be a non-drafting race. But then, economically, I had to choose the half Ironman and the Ironman because that's where the prize purse is.
Correct.
But moving forward, I think honing or increasing your upper limits, so getting as fast as you possibly can, that's going to allow you to race a very fast and a very good middle, so Ironman 70.3 and Ironman full distance race. So in 2016, my schedule will look a lot different. I'm going to do a lot more sprints, a lot more Olympics, so that my focus in training can be on becoming a better 5K runner, a better 10K runner, better 20K and 40K time trial specialist, and then, of course, faster swimmer over those shorter distances. So that as I get into the thick of it in the summer and I go to the 70.3s in the Ironman, I'll have a much higher upper limit and those race paces at 70.3 and Ironman pace will feel much easier.
And you've been at this for 6 years?
6 years now, yes.
So you've learned a little bit about the sport?
Just a little bit. It's a very complex sport, I found out very quickly.
And you managed to go to the big stage in Hawaii. You went to Kona.
Yes.
And learned some more lessons.
It's amazing. You think that the lessons are going to stop coming. Even in Arizona, I went into that one, how many more lessons could there be? And I still learn lessons. So that's the beauty of the sport. I think I don't think it'll ever end.
So let's talk about Kona. What happened at Kona?
First off, I had a bad swim. We had a bit of an idea to try and do some drafting with a friend of mine, and it didn't pan out. I didn't really have much experience drafting with just a single person, and so I didn't swim nearly as well as I would like to, and with hindsight, I wish I just kind of would have went into it and swam really, really hard and tried to catch some feed and get into a more moderate-paced draft pack. But it didn't work out. So the swim, it all started off on a bad foot. Came out of the water with a really big deficit. And then, as I had said previous, I wore a Camelback on the bike with 2 liters of liquid in it. And I carried 3 big round bottles on my bike, 2 of which were filled with liquid. So I carried significantly more weight than many of my competitors were carrying in liquids. And aerodynamically, I was very poor from those poor decisions. And it was a bit intimidating when I went into the transition zone because I had number 9. And so I got to rack my bike next to Jan Frodeno, Sebastian Kienle. all these great guys, world champions, and yeah, I definitely felt when I was thinking about my aerodynamic decisions, I felt a bit intimidated. I was like, maybe these aren't a good idea, but I couldn't change the plan the night before, right? So I had to go through with it, I think it cost myself a lot of time aerodynamically, but then. Other things that came to the forefront in that race was the overtraining and the racing that I had been doing going into it. Like I raced two Ironmans going in the about 4 months leading into that race. Right. So, I mean, that takes a lot out of you. And I raced a lot of 70.3s too. But I also did a lot of training. And particularly, I did the training at race pace. I didn't sort of polarize that training. And I was trying to almost do the race in practice on a regular basis. I literally did 12 bike rides leading into this race that were 4 hours in duration and were well over 300 watts each time. My best one being 329 watts for 4 hours, which, to put it into perspective, I had the second fastest bike split in Arizona, and I only pushed 297 watts. So it's basically like doing an Ironman bike in practice 12 times before the race. And long story short, you know, there's a massive amount of cumulative fatigue that is inside of your muscles from that style of training. And it really came to the forefront when you start to go 8 hours in duration in very hot temperatures. And so it was like a switch shut off on the bike at about 100 kilometers into the bike. It's like, boom, switch shut off. Can't push those pedals anymore. No amount of motivation could get me to push any more power into the pedals.
Yeah.
And so that was very disappointing. And I sort of think I could dug myself my own grave in that standpoint. But fortunately, I hopped off the bike and I did put together a good run. And I really got to give kudos to Infinite for that, because I did have a really good hydration plan. And I had a good plan on the run too. And I put together probably my best run in an Ironman in very, very hot. They say it was the hottest conditions in 20 years. It was 90 degrees, you know, 65% humidity, no cloud cover the entire day, and the sun is very, very powerful there. And so I put together a decent run, and it certainly gave me some confidence, because in the previous two Ironmans I had done, I ran very poorly. So it was nice to at least take something from the race that was good, and that I hadn't really made much of a mistake. And so then I learned all those lessons, and those are the ones that I applied at Ironman Arizona, which obviously had a much different outcome. Okay.
But let's talk about heat, because, you know, you and I have talked about this, I think, on three or four occasions. Heat's not your friend. And the hotter races, you really get a beating.
Yeah, you know, I think everyone gets a beating, but maybe me growing up here in Canada might have set me up a little poorly for that one. But I'm getting better. I think it's something that can be greatly acclimated to.
Conditioned.
Like a lot. They say, the science says, in 3 weeks or so, you will become just like someone who lives in Hawaii year round. And I would say that's pretty darn accurate. Like, my heart rate was through the roof on day one when I was there, but every single day, my heart rate at constant paces or constant power on the bike was coming down and down and down. And finally, by about the day of the race, I was able to perform, you know, decently well. I still think there's a big mental component on it, in that it's very shocking. And so as time goes on, if you have more experience in those environments, you will improve. But there's a lot of physiological adaptation that happens in those 3 weeks. So I'd highly recommend, if you're Canadian, you're going to do a hot race, heat that training room up, get the humidifier on, shut the doors, get an air purifier so you don't die in there, and make it hot, make it painful.
So what did you do differently in Arizona?
Well, I swam a lot better. I changed my swim training going into it a bit. I had a lot higher mileage. That's something I felt that I had.
Did you go there earlier as well?
No. I felt my training room conditions were very similar, you know, 70, 75 degrees, 30, 40% humidity. So I didn't feel the need to go there.
The pain cave.
Yes, the pain cave. Uh-huh. So I swam a lot better, which set me up. I had a much less deficit coming out of the water than I did. I swam really hard, too, this time. And then on the bike, I had a much more aerodynamic setup. I work with Darcy from Infinite to be able to do that and still get my calories and everything. And then so I did that, and I paced myself a bit better on the bike. And then on the run, once again, that the training I did was a bit different in those 3 weeks, and I had started to dissipate some of that cumulative fatigue I had amassed over the last 3 months, and I think that really allowed me to hold things together a lot better on the run, and I needed to too, because Brent McMahon, fellow Canadian, was charging very hard in the final 2 miles or so of the race. So right. If I didn't do that, he would have caught me.
Unbelievable.
It was fun. Yeah, it was a great experience.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
Congratulations. Stick with us. Maybe we can talk to Ben Kaplan a bit as well from iRun Magazine. But before we talk to Ben, we have to do Song of the Week. It's the song that always we choose it every week just to kind of, it's brand new, get you out going. This is Satchmo with Further Away on Running Flat Radio.
Is a pest. It comes from north, south, east, and west. And as a papa bear, protect your family because you care. So get the shot early. Stay healthy, strong, and burly. Here's what you can do. Get the shot and stop the flu.
Protect your loved ones from the flu the best way you can. Get the free flu shot. Visit ontario.ca/flu for a location near you. Paid for by the Government of Ontario.
Celebrate timeless elegance at the Water's Edge Event Center in the Grand Ballroom and the lovely White Room. There's still time to book Christmas parties, weddings, or even a gala. For information, visit watersedgeeventcenter.ca.
Roadside assistance you can see right at your fingertips with CAA Service Tracker. Get live updates on your phone so you know exactly when your CAA truck will arrive.
From the AM 800 Weather Center, here is your latest forecast. Partly cloudy skies for tonight, getting down to a low of -2. Tomorrow, mainly sunny with a daytime high of 12. For Thursday, cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers, reaching a high of 11. Friday, periods of rain with an afternoon high of 12. Saturday, a mix of sun and cloud with a high of 3. Once again, for tonight, partly cloudy skies with an overnight low of -2.
Get the hottest deals on Canon cameras and lenses this Black Friday at Henry's, Canada's go-to photography store. Take better photos this holiday season with Rebel DSLRs starting at $379.99. Choose from 5 different models, all with video recording. Plus, save big during Canon's best-in-glass sale when you add a lens. With their price match promise, huge product selection, and expert sales team, Henry's is Canada's greatest camera store. Sale starts online at henrys.com at 12 a.m. on Black Friday, 9 a.m. at Henry's, 3155 Howard Avenue, across from Devonshire Mall.
Whether you're chilling outdoors or tied up downtown, now you can have speed, action, and excitement right in the palm of your hand. The new Discovery Go app. All 5 Discovery networks in one. Discovery Channel.
Oh, yeah.
Investigation Discovery. Science. Velocity. And Animal Planet. Total immersion in your favorite shows whenever, wherever. With a single swipe, watch it live or catch up. The new Discovery Go app. Download it now on iOS and Android.
Hey, it's Chris Uzinski. Look, you had a decent year, but you want to get more out of your running. Sub 20, a 5K, go to Boston, or just lose more weight without all the hocus pocus. Well, we can help you do that. In partnership with our friends at Additional Nutritional, we've made personal training really easy. And it's a custom app that's built right around you, customized to you with all the workouts and all the encouragement designed to get you going every single day. It even has recipes and a weekly call. Or hey, look, 24/7, you can get a hold of one of the trainers and talk to them and get your questions answered. We can get you to your goals guaranteed. For more information, go to runningflat.com and click on the fitness app. That's runningflat.com. All the space between us. Satchmo with Further Away is Song of the Week here on Running Flat Radio. It's now time for Ben Kaplan from iRun Magazine.
This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800. Tonight's running news is brought to you by iRun.
Hey, Ben, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Look at beautiful weather, eh?
Yeah, feeling good. Looking forward to my run tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so, you know, I know one of the things we want to talk about is, you know, we've had a snow. Hard to believe that we've had a snow this year, so late in the year, and you know, it's time to start. You know, well, yeah, I run with a running partner, and we're always like, you know what? Until it hits minus two, we're wearing shorts.
Okay, good for you. There you go. That's cool. Yeah, it's so hard to know how to do it when the weather first changes. You know, it is. It's really something. So it's good. You got to have a principle and stick to it.
So you're on with Lionel Sanders. He's joining me in studio. And you know, Lionel's always wearing shorts.
Lionel, congratulations,
right.
Man.
Hey, thanks, man.
I mean, because, you know, most of his work is done on the inside.
Yeah, you outdoor runners are crazy. I give it to you.
Yeah. You know, he's in the pain cave, and obviously it works for him. But most of us love to just kind of get one with nature, put the shoes on, and put some gear on, you know. So, look, you wear shorts. I can wear shorts probably to minus 10. It doesn't really matter. As long as, you know, you got some gloves, you got some hat, you got, you know, maybe something over the eyes, you know, and a long sleeve, and then you're cooking.
Chris, can we put a caveat on that, though? Because, I mean, I'm in my tights, man. So I don't want your listeners to go out there and minus five in their shorts and freeze and say, hey, Ben Kaplan and iRun Magazine told us to do that. No, Chris Duzinski and Running Flats recommend anything.
Yeah, but I'm also like in the, you know, the tomato capital of Canada, right? I mean, it's always warmer here than anywhere else. So
yeah, all right.
Look, you know, but you know what? Go to your running store. You know, for those of you, look, we have listeners from San Diego to Iqaluit, and really what's important is go to your local running shop, check out the latest gear, see what's out there. I know that you and I have had this conversation before. I'm kind of preferential to Sugoi and a couple other manufacturers.
I'm trying to get into them this year. I'm looking forward to trying Sugoi.
And you know, and you run in everybody. And everybody makes some great gear, you know, somewhere within their lines. So it's really important that you go talk to your running professional and go to your local running store because they know what's out there. They know what you need. And they can, you know, just say, hey, look, I don't want to spend more than X amount of dollars on some gear.
Yeah.
And they'll say, okay, what's important is a great jacket, a good hat, good gloves, you know, and they'll take you through what you really need to get done.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, like running when it's freezing cold is crazy if only you don't have the right stuff. So it's like, you know, it's hard to run through the winter if you're uncomfortable. But if you're comfortable and the stuff is out there, and nobody is advocating throwing a lot of money around. I mean, I don't know, and none of us want you to do that. But, you know, you want to give yourself a chance also. I mean, if you are somewhat serious about sticking with this endeavor through the cold weather,
right.
You know, you need a few things or else you don't have a chance.
You got to make the investment. It's like any sport, right? I mean, whether it's golf or, you know, try or biking, right? I mean, whatever you're doing is you're going to make that investment. And when you're into running, you're going to have to make that investment into, if you're serious about it, into, you know, some winter weight tights. You know, which will set you back quite a bit, and a jacket where you've got a windshield in the front and an open back, right, type material that's going to allow you to kind of sweat and heat through, and you know, look, the first half kilometer to kilometer it might be a little chilly, but you know, the rest is going to be awesome as long as there's not a lot of wind.
Hey, yeah, for what it's worth, I've had talking about the quality of this stuff. When I do run outside, which is very, very, not very often, I still have my running shirt that I use from grade 9. So that's
nice.
How many years ago is that now? Almost 15 years ago now. And Perfect. Still works perfectly. So one-time investment for the most part.
That's awesome. Yeah. If you buy your stuff, hang on to it.
Get the
good
stuff.
There's no reason this stuff can't last. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It almost sounded like a beer commercial. You know, when I go out running outside, when I do. yeah. Awesome. So Ben, we're talking winter running, and what else do you think we should be doing?
Well, I tell you one thing I would do. If I am going to go to the store and I'm going to buy some special pants and a fancy jacket and whatever else, while I was there, I would also ask my man or whoever, the shopkeeper, or do something on the internet. But I would sign up for something because you want to have incentive. It gets harder and harder. I mean, it's very natural when the weather's beautiful to go out for a little jog around the block, you know, catch a suntan and listen to some reggae. But in the winter, the sport sort of changes. So I think, and I especially think, that if you are going to make an investment and you're sort of really taking a crack at it, you know, people are making their 2016 resolutions, and I think a good thing to do, I mean, what I do, what keeps me sort of honest, is I sign up for something. That way you don't buy your fancy tights and just leave them in the closet.
Sign up for Liz Chocolat. Do it right now on runningflat.com.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Ben. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Lionel, right on. To you too, man.
We'll see you, man.
Bye.
Ben Kaplan is the editor-in-chief of Iron Magazine on newsstands right now, actually, at all of your local bookstores. This is Running Flat Radio. Thank you, Lionel Sanders, for joining us.
Thanks. It was fun.
Ironman champion. This has been Running Flat Radio. For more information about Running Flat, go to runningflat.com. You can catch us on Twitter at Running Flat. And you can also catch any one of our Facebook pages, Le Chocolat, Canada Day, Zombie Chase. And we got a lot of big announcements coming up in the next couple of weeks. You've been listening to Running Flat Radio. Most of all, just keep running.
And that's the end of it.
End of episode. Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski. Tuesday night, 7 till 8 on AM 800. Running Flat Radio is a paid program. Local news is next on AM 800 CKLW, the information station.
And that's all I have to say about that.